D&D has come a long way in the past few years. And if you're looking to level up your dice as well as your gameplay, Modern Artifice has you covered. Their artisanal metal dice sets are high-end, look great, and give a satisfying weight to your dice rolls.
Check out their solid metal sets like this Critical Silver Reactor, which even glows in the dark. Or try their hollow frame dice, intricate metal woven into our favorite polyhedral shapes for a truly unique rolling experience.
If you're into something more classic, Modern Artifice has a plethora of colored and themed resin dice sets so you can find the perfect set to match your character.
Feeling adventurous? Try Modern Artifice's mystery dice sets. This grab bag will give you a full set of resin or metal dice. You never know what you'll get, but you know it will always be quality.
So get yourself to modernartifice.com today and use code GOON10 at checkout for 10% off your purchase. That's GOON10 at checkout for 10% off. Modern Artifice, your one-stop shop for magical merchandise and nerdy novelty.
Were those the Brides of Strahd?
Unfortunately, yes. They've developed a bit of a habit of following us around. Stay vigilant, as always. But for now, they won't bother us further. Let's get back on the road. Oh, crumb. It seems as though the cartwheel got damaged in that hole the Brides traveled through. Well, not to worry. We've got a spare. Olaf, have you ever changed a cartwheel before?
The Berserkers don't use carts.
Well, how do you transport heavy things?
We, lift them up.
I don't know why I'm so surprised. Well, anyway, make sure you loosen the axle cap before we lift this wheel. Otherwise, it'll just spin forever. Oh, would you mind checking on Desi?
Pasha told me to speak a little hoarse. Do you want to try? Say this.
Desi, whoa! Ow!
I think you accidentally said wolves straight ahead.
I'll remind you all that I can cast Speak with Animals, but not if I'm enraged!
Sorry, Kavan.
Hey, Dungeoneers. Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of the Strahdcast. If you like what we do here, remember to follow us on YouTube or subscribe via your favorite podcast app to get notified every time we release new episodes. Thanks again, and take your listen with advantage.
When last we left our heroes, they prepared to depart the Berserker camp after taking some well-needed rest and recuperation. Irina showed off the progress she was making with her javelin training, and Olaf appointed his spirited cousin Ayla as the new chief scout in his absence. Traveling the road, all seemed normal until a jet of hellfire broke from the earth, and our heroes came face to face with the Brides of Strahd once more. They revealed themselves to be on the hunt for Irina with an apparent blessing from Strahd himself. After some tense negotiations in which our heroes refused to give away Irina's location, the Brides departed, promising they would see our heroes again. Argenvost still lies ahead. What surprises will our heroes find when they reach the keep at last? Find out now on the Strahdcast. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Shuffle off this mortal coil and transport yourselves to the far, foggy realm of Barovia.
Yeah, I mean, like, as they fly off, I think Olaf, like, squats down and almost, like, hisses at them. Like, he gets a little primal.
A dog barks loudest when it's held back. Winnie, send a message to Zarya.
Yeah, okay. Should we go back?
No. Okay. She will know what to do.
Okay, I'll send a message to Zarya.
What do you want to say?
Whatever you say, end it with XOXO Kaz. Or don't, whatever.
No, I think that's apropos. Keep that in.
Strahd's brides are looking for Irina. Did she already leave? Don't let anybody in unless you know them. Everybody be careful. XO Kaz.
Nailed it.
Drogar gets out of his stance and just kind of like looks down for a minute.
I'm gonna send a message to Irina.
Okay. So yeah, that was to cat. That was to
Zarya. Oh yeah. Does she respond?
Yes, she does promptly. They've made their way. The boy is with them, so she'll be safe for the nuns. I'll send
some lads to make sure.
The boy being Dimitri?
Correct.
Winnie?
Yep. Zarya is going to send some people to watch out for them. They're already on their way to Valaki. She thinks that because Dimitri's with them, then they'll be fine.
Well, Dimitri can handle himself.
I'm so sick of this.
You know, after 528 years, I don't know why I keep thinking diplomacy might work.
Well, maybe it might. Like, I don't even know. The other thing doesn't work. I'm going to send a message to Irina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get a great axe and name it diplomacy.
You know, Kaz, that's poetic in a very brutal way.
That's kind of my style, I think.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
All right. Message to Irina. What do you want to say?
Please be careful. They're coming for you again. Find a place with no windows. Somebody guard the door. I'm so sorry. I wish... I don't know.
Right. Everyone back in the wagon. We can't stay out here in this valley.
Does she respond?
Yeah, as you're kind of all clambering back in and getting ready to go again. You've all taught me well. It's high time I start protecting myself. Don't worry, little sister. Dimitri is here, and I've got a javelin.
Winnie lays down in the cart.
Yeah. She just lays. Like, I think, like, Winnie, like, planks.
Fully prone, yeah.
Drogar, do you still have that rock we found in Kirill's head?
The sending stone?
Sure.
Oh, yes, I think I have it here somewhere. Here, hold my pipe.
Do you know how to make one of these?
Well, I know how to use one. I'm sure I could probably figure out how to make one.
Give me an Arcana check.
Yeah.
Woo! Did he get another nat 20?
Uh-huh.
Are you serious? This is the Argenvasht arc.
Jesus, Drogar keeps coming through with these nat 20s.
It's
that die.
The golden die. Natural 15.
Okay, great.
Arcana, that's a 26.
Great. You think to yourself, Drogar, I mean, sending stones, all things told, it's a pretty simple enchantment upon the actual piece. All it takes is you just need a rock. And someone who knows how to do magic.
Right.
And inscribe runes.
Right.
And
I know the sending spell.
You know the sending spell. I don't think you know how to inscribe runes,
no,
Drogar.
No, probably not.
However, there are a bunch of powerful magic users in the valley. Like, mm-hmm. Dimitri might know. Charlie might know. Charlie probably used to know anyway, at least.
Does Zarya know how to engrave runes?
No, hers is she's about specifically, like, weaving magic into weapons.
Got it. Understood.
Esmeralda could probably find you a book about it.
Yeah,
probably.
Right. But there's resources. If you wanted to try to recreate the other half of the sending stone, there's options.
Charlie could do it, but God knows where it would send it.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello, this is the Eltrail Bank.
Operator.
Oh,
God, we've crossed timelines.
Yeah. Now that's a crossover.
Oh, my God. Charlie will give you a sending stone that you can only use to contact an eldritch being known as the Operator.
Oh, my God.
In 19-something, Ohio.
It can only be used to contact a character in another campaign.
Okay, take that in.
I need to find my eldritch operator voice.
Operator.
I was told that the sending stone would work.
Wait, she's still working.
And then all of a sudden you hear.
Right. Who gave you my number? Right. Sorry, I'll hang up. Click.
Who gave you my number? As, like, the wind whips around you and, like, leaves fly. Click. Leaves fall down.
Yeah. See one,
and all leaves just drop.
One giant Jewish fist comes flying towards your head.
Out of a hell mouth.
That's not right.
Hold on one moment. I'll connect you.
Never mind. I forgot what I was going to say.
Kaz, without boring you with the details, I...
Thank you.
God damn it.
I'm not saying that you're boring.
No.
I'm just saying that I find some of the details boring.
Oh, I get the vibe. No worries. I cannot create it myself. However, the process in which creating one is done. Plausibly somebody in this valley that we know could do it. Why?
I don't like that Irina can't talk to us whenever she wants to.
Yes.
Yes.
When he says face down in the cart.
That's adorable.
That's a great idea, Kaz. I do like that as well.
There's also, I just remembered, Vasilka had that bell.
Did that do anything crazy?
It wasn't dissimilar from Ascending Stone. The abbot had a actual bell, like a dinner, like a little, you know, like a little jingly bell.
Did the ringing of the bell command her?
And when the abbot rang the bell on her collar would also ring, so she would know when the abbot was calling for her.
Assuming Vasilka hasn't destroyed that bell, because if I had someone who rang a bell and a bell on my collar rang every time, and then I had the opportunity to destroy the bell, I absolutely would. But maybe she hasn't done that.
Hmm. Well, if she hasn't done that yet.
I don't know. Maybe we could use that.
Well, sadly, we can't do anything right now up here on this in this valley.
True.
But these are all brilliant ideas, Kaz.
Why, yes. I have many of those. I am queen of the berserkers, after all. And a leader should have good ideas. Kaz.
Oi, you don't earn the title of Kavan without being smart.
Yep.
Kaz.
What?
Something tells me you haven't been praised for your intellect enough.
My blood pressure right now is telling me I have.
The cart continues to roll on.
Oh, Trevor, did you have plans for this session? I'm sorry.
This never happens. This has gone almost how I thought it was going to.
Why does that make me feel more uncomfortable?
I know. I feel more uneasy now.
It should make you feel uncomfortable. Okay.
No, I could. This is good. So, because the last two sessions I've been so stressed out because I've come in with no plan and they've been great. And then this session I had some specific stuff that I wanted to get to. And so then I started feeling stressed about that. Being like, I'm not giving them enough freedom. I'm railroading them. I can't win with myself. Is there anything else while we're just sort of on the road? Anything else anybody wants to do?
Yeah, I think Olaf will stay a little closer to the cart and you'll just like, he stays like kind of off the trail, but like keeps popping onto the trail and like checking in. But he's maintained a closer distance than he did before the Hellmouth.
Great.
Yeah. Winnie is actively looking out every now and then retreating back into the cart with her skull mask now perched on the top of her head, just in case the brides come back, and is writing and rewriting on a piece of paper.
You carry on. For a while, you sort of shake off this encounter with the brides. They're out there now. They are on a new mission. They really want Irena's blood. But you are also on a mission, and you carry on. You kind of come out from this ravine, and again, the countryside opens up. And as you continue to carry on, slowly but surely, the fogs close in around you as you carry on. The wheels of the cart and Desdemona's hooves start to slosh as the road becomes wet and sodden. Your clothes even become a little drenched as the mists close in around you, and things get very, very quiet. As you carry on down the road that directed you towards Argenvost Holt, the fog almost kind of closes up around you so you can't see anywhere out in the distance.
Yeah, I think when this happens, like, Olaf just kind of makes his way back to the cart and he kind of just comes back and goes, I don't think I'm any help scouting ahead. There's no visibility out there.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Stay close. It's better that we can see you.
So can we assume that Strahd just said, just turn the brides loose, and the brides did not say, we're going to go kill Irina? Like, this is just them going rogue.
I
got the gist that they, that Strahd said, get her. I don't care what you have to do. Get Irina now.
And Ludmilla was like,
and let them go.
Ludmilla was like, did I just hear you say dead or alive? Okay, great, bye.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly.
Ludmilla. So like, what you're gathering is Strahd said, go get Irina.
Yeah.
And Anastria said, maybe Strahd is like, oh, well, obviously they'll throw themselves in front of the brides to save Irina. And is I think he's just hoping that that we will kill you all in the process.
Sure. Okay. Hmm.
Does that make sense?
So he's also kind of throwing them in front of the train.
Yeah. What you're putting together is that, like, Strahd thinks that you will all try to sacrifice yourselves to save Irina, and the brides will kill you. That's kind of the new plan.
Okay.
Or at least he's throwing that out there.
And Ludmilla wants her personal revenge.
And Ludmilla has some personal beef because it's complicated.
Trevor, we are in sloshy water. Is this, like, difficult terrain? Are we
not
like...
as yet, but like the but things are getting sodden.
Okay.
You would not you if you, you got the feeling if you stepped down out of the cart, your foot would like sink half an inch.
So Drogar looks around us. Well, we'll keep going for a little bit. We'll keep riding him for a little bit.
Okay. In time, the fog chokes in around you, but something everyone give me a perception check, actually. As the fog closes in.
So, okay. So I'm going to roll that. But I think Kaz, like, she's working something out in her head. And she says out loud, without making it clear that she wants Drogar to hear, but she wants Drogar to hear.
Strahd brought us here to toy with us. And from what I've heard, we are not the first group of what he would call heroes that he's done this to. But I don't think he would bring someone here just to toy with them unless he knew he could beat him. Either Strahd is really, really stupid, or he's too proud to admit that he's tired of this, and he's just as sick of this as all of us are. Because if he brought someone here that couldn't kill him, then he could just keep going about his way. But he brought us. Because we're his excuse.
You know, Kaz, there once was a great emperor where I came from. He ruled for 3 centuries. It was unheard of, but there was something that kept him alive, something evil. And for 3 centuries he ruled, and he ruled the exact same way for 3 centuries. And on the last day of the last year, he got cocky, and it was that moment that he was overthrown, stabbed in the back by his own son. You see, Kaz, eventually somebody makes a mistake. I think Strahd has finally made his mistake. I think Strahd brought us here thinking we were just another adventuring party. But we have a Kaz.
I want to hear him admit it.
You and me both, friend. You and me both.
Both of you take inspiration.
Oh, I already have it.
Same. This one, you gotta fucking use it when I give it to you.
Fucking too.
You have to use it when I give it to you, dude.
Okay.
And now I will roll my check that I forget what kind it is.
Perception.
With inspiration. Natty 18.
If you want to do it with advantage, then you can take your inspiration.
It was a natty 18. Right. I'm not going to test it.
All right, fine.
It was perception, you said?
Yeah.
22.
23.
24. Wow. 25. Yeah, come on, bring it.
Christ,
come on.
Guys. 14.
Damn it, Dad.
Then in that case, while you two are having this conversation, Olaf, if you're still scouting a little bit ahead, I think maybe like you throw up the fist, like the halt, you know?
Mm-hmm. The camera zooms in
arm
on the fist.
At a right angle with the fist up.
And Winnie, who's peeking her head out the front, goes, hey, hey.
You see, Olaf, a dark shape comes into the edge of viewing. It stands immovable, unshakable in the distance. What would you like to do?
I'll let out like a little low growl and I'll creep forward.
It does not respond.
And I'll just keep walking forward. Like, I'll look back and I'll, like, give him a hand, like, be ready, I got this, but, like, don't come any closer. And I'm just going to keep creeping, like, bow drawn.
You draw your bow and creep forward, and the rest of you kind of watch as Olaf, as he moves, as soon as he gets, like, 10 feet away from the wagon, he disappears into the mist.
Oh, shit.
Kaz stands up, cactus drawn, ready to spring forward. She's like a sprinter on the blocks.
And as you move forward, as you creep forward, Olaf, what comes into view is a dragon.
Oh, my God.
But you calm yourself a little bit as you see it's a massive, incredibly realistic stone statue. Its eyes still glow with a faint blue light. As you look up at it, you can see every so often a little jet of frosty air moves from its mouth, almost as if it were breathing.
So I imagine you all see, like, I have the radiant arrow drawn while I'm, like, creeping up, and then all of a sudden you see, like, the light go out. And that's, like, when I see, like, it's a statue, and I go up, and I, like, I see this, and I hesitantly, like, reach my hand out.
You place a hand upon it, and as you do so, these sort of faint runes alight upon it. It looks like these, like, curving weaves alight across the statue, but they look like a light bulb that it's at the end of its life. They're very faint. And as they move their way up the statue, kind of reaching the head, the eyes grow a little bit brighter. And you get this cool breeze that wipes across you that you feel almost like at once may have been a devastating cone of cold. But due to age, it's just a cool breeze.
Olaf, what do you see out there?
Yeah, and I think, like, even before responding, he, like, takes a moment to, like, bow his head and, like, put his hand on the statue and, like, acknowledge what once had been.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what all of you see as you continue forward through the mist. You see Olaf kneeling at this massive statue as it comes into view for all of you.
I think Drogar immediately dismounts and rushes up to the statue.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do an arcana check. I want to see if this is a petrification spell. I want to see if this is some, like, if sure. There is an essence or a life in
that
stone. Yeah,
give me arcana.
That is a 19.
Great. Drogar, we don't generally think of magic as having a shelf life, but that is only because we don't live that long and magical items just kind of work on a different scale. As you look upon this statue, you can guess maybe once it was put here to act as a guard. It would release this breath spell to accost invaders. But it has sat here in its solemn vigil for so long that the weaves have grown thin, and all that emanates now is this faint, cold breath.
So this was like a trap at some point?
Basically? It used to be, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
That's kind of what you're putting together. It used to be a trap.
You see, this, Olaf, used to be a giant trap.
This is ancient. This is the land. This is what my people pray to. This shouldn't be.
And as you speak, Olaf, the fog kind of parts a little bit, like a sweeping wind, almost like in syncopation with the steady breath of the statue. The fog clears a little bit, and you see, beyond the statue, a fortress. Drogar, you are no stranger to war and to the fortifications used therein. This, instantly you can tell, was made for battle. This is a castle meant to project power across land. This is a place of safety, refuge, and strength, and yet fall into ruin. One half of it is completely dilapidated. The round towers and tall roofs fallen away, leaving to open air. There's a courtyard sort of set out before it, and then a grand staircase leading upwards towards a set of grand oaken doors, which stay petrified, covered in mist and web.
I've heard about this place. It's a legend to my people. There's no living berserker that's set their eyes on this.
And in fact, Olaf, you think there's no one in this whole valley that has set eyes on this place in many a long year.
Oh, the gods are with us, my friends.
Kaz will, with a bit of a thrown wink at Winnie, say,
I think the land has shown itself to be our ally. I think we're welcome here.
And I think Olaf will like turn to Kaz and like drop to a knee. And
you can call me Kavan if
and,
you want to.
And we'll just say like, Kavan. And we'll look up and be like, I think it's only fitting that you lead us in.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay.
And like from that, like after he says that, we'll put his head down and not move and just like on a knee, like fist to chest, just like head down at your feet, kind of.
She'll take the cue. She'll sort of walk past you and make to lead us in. But she'll put a hand on your shoulder on the way and go,
the salute is more than enough. We need you on your feet.
And yeah, he'll like very slowly raise up, but then like wait and let you all go up and he'll wait in the back.
Jorgar will put a hand out before you step forward and we'll go, hold on. If this is a fortress like it looks like, we need to make sure that the safeguards and traps that it used to ward off invaders are not still active.
And Jorgar just wants to pick up a rock and just kind of throw it toward the entrance and see if spikes, oil, anything comes out of this fortress.
It couldn't be a trap. There are no skulls.
There's no doors with skulls on them.
Artemis might not have known better, but Olaf does.
Yes.
Olaf checks for skulls.
Yeah, Olaf checks for skulls.
So yeah, you toss a stone Drogar and you kind of, and it sails off through the mist, leaving almost like a tunnel, you know, of open air behind it as it passes. And you hear it like clatter and skitter across the sort of stone landing at the top of the stairs. But nothing stirs.
Right. All good. Everyone in.
And as we walk forward, Drogar will kind of pull Winnie close to him and go,
Winnie, where I come from, there were great wars fought between kingdoms for land, spoils. It doesn't matter the reason, but wars were fought, and these were the bastions in which people defended themselves against massive armies.
What is a bastion?
Oh, it's like a castle, like a big...
Oh, like a me. Okay.
Yeah, like a big castle. And if there's one thing I've learned in my 528 years, it is that no matter how small the army, the chances of it succeeding increase tenfold if it is within the walls of a fortress.
But this one didn't?
No, it doesn't seem that way, does it?
Looking at this big dragon statue and the remnants of this once grand thing, I'll take your big pinky and just look up at you and then look ahead.
Yes. Dragons aren't invincible, Winnie.
Thunder has started rumbling in the distance.
They're strong. They're magnificent and wise and prideful. But they are not invincible.
And I guess, like, I'll just kind of, like, lead Winnie.
Everything dies. Even gods.
And you make your way up the stairs. Heavy footsteps echo across this sort of open courtyard as you make your way across the abandoned stone fortress. And Drogar, as you're making your way up the steps, perhaps you glance down just for a moment to make sure of your footing as you kind of come to the top of this landing. And as you swing your massive head back upward to look at the enormous doors beyond, your breath catches in your throat, for a figure stands before you. Before the oaken doors, unmoving and silent. He wears a full plate helm with dragon wings that spring from the temples. And yet on his body, he wears naught but a tunic, simple leathers. It's the thing that a knight wears underneath their armor. But you do not see armor on this warrior alone. And in fact, what seems to have replaced it is a blade, the handle of which protrudes from his chest. And the tip of the blade you see sprouts from his back. It is embedded, impaled directly through his torso. And he stands there, both of his hands placed upon the pommel of an enormous greatsword. And he stands stock still as you reach the top of the stairs.
Forgive me, friend. We heard of a great dragon that once served this valley. Wish to see it free. Turn back.
is lost. It is kept by those who lost it. You will find no rest, no respite here. Turn back.
Is that guy dead?
I'm afraid so, Winnie.
You're afraid so? I think that's good news.
Do I know anything about this figure? Like, is there anything in
give
the
me,
Berserker
do,
legends?
Give me history or insight.
I'm rolling the chungus. I'm going to do... Great. Well, they both have a plus zero, so...
Not the chungus.
So let's see. I'm going to do history. That's a 15.
Great.
Modern Artifice, for when you only want to roll above a 15.
There it is.
Or equal to, inclusive of 15.
Olaf, your people have been here longer than anyone else. And you do, all of the berserkers know stories of Argenvost. Nobody travels, you are quite right, no one travels here anymore. It is a land of bones and ghosts, shrouded in shadow and mist. But you know that once this was home to an order of implacable warriors. The implacable warriors that were lost long ago. And it seems to you that this is at least one of these warriors who still stands sentinel.
Okay. And we had, like, the berserkers had no bond with these warriors. They were, like, a separate...
They would have known them. They would have interacted. Like, the berserkers were here before anybody else, but okay. You don't... But separate this, it was people, hundreds kinda, of years ago. Right. You wouldn't know much.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Can I do an insight check to see if these are held here against their will?
Sure. Yeah.
Or if they are here because they still believe in defending the sacred
great.
Place.
That's
great.
That's great. Do insight. Yeah.
Cool.
Very cool.
That is an 18.
That's great. I'm going to do one more. Do
you want
another arcana.
Yeah. Okay. That one's not as great. That's a 13.
That's okay. Drogar, you know maybe better than anyone the power that oaths hold.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
you know that in this world, a promise is a power. And that power can cut a lot of different ways. And in some circumstances, you've heard of a creature when a noble warrior's oath goes unfulfilled. Sometimes what takes their place upon their death is the ghost of that promise unfulfilled. A revenant.
Yes.
Oh, fuck. Drogar will draw his shield and his mace, and he will kind of like, he draws them both and he kind of pushes Winnie and Olaf back and kind of looks back at Kaz and goes, we're going to have to fight our way.
What are we fighting toward?
Freeing them. When an oath is unfulfilled, the honorable stand fast until that promise is kept.
And Olaf shoves past you. And he just goes, it goes to the figure. And he goes, mighty warrior, our people once lived in unison. We stand before you now. Kavan returned. And the leader of the wolves, we're here to bring the light back to this land, to help fulfill a promise you once made. We're here to help. Do not stand in our way.
To what end?
To the end.
Speak plain, warrior. We do not mince words nor blades.
We will free this land of the devil and the hold that Strahd
has. No, the devil lies trapped in a hell of his own making. I would not release him from this prison.
So you instead hold all these people in your prison?
I know not of the living, only my duty as the dead. You've had your warning. Turn back.
You've had yours. We will free this land whether you stand in our way or not.
Be it upon your heads. Turn back or face death.
The figure dissipates on the wind.
the doors stand before you.
So Kaz will take a few steps forward, because this is her biggest fear. These are warriors who died fighting, who died with their grudges unavenged.
Mm-hmm.
So she will take just like big, confident steps towards this door.
Karg, hark, when I die, I will die fighting with my grudges avenged. And you, warriors, deserve the same death.
With the disappearance of this figure, he goes over to the oaken doors and just...
Frozen lion.
Oh, jeez Louise.
They resist your touch, their advanced age having cemented them in place. But in fact, give me an athletics check, Drogar.
Wow! First roll on the purple die. It is a nat 20.
Get out! Fucking
take a look, baby. Take a look.
Thank you, Dragon's Nest Delivery.
Are you kidding? You had a natural 20?
Dragon's Nest Delivery, baby.
Oh my god, thank you, Dragon. Thank you, Dragon. Tonight.
Delivering us this moment.
Much like Aragorn. Droga,
you fling the doors wide like in the Two Towers.
Based on the pool of evidence we have, that die only rolls 20s. So.
But no, yeah, you fling they give you a moment's hesitation, Drogar, but then as if feeling your knightly persuasion, they give to you.
Yeah.
And fling wide. And their opening echoes throughout the reverberation of this sort of like entry hall. You step inside, Drogar. To the east, the walls are entirely collapsed. And so you can look out through the open air where, you know, once were mighty fortress walls. It is now just a collapsed ruin. Off to the other side, there are still standing oaken doors, but completely covered in cobwebs and rusted with age. No one has walked these halls in a long, long, long time. Curious even more so, Drogar, is that you saw this figure who stood outside enter back inside the hold. But there are no other footsteps or any other seemingly things that seem to disturb the silence. And as you enter into this grand chamber, there is a long hall with a huge golden brazier at the center. It looks sort of like a feasting hall, maybe, or some sort of reception area, you know, like a longhouse may have been once back in the day. You could picture these long tables that would have been filled with fine wines and good foods. But any table that may have existed here is long rotted away. As you are just left with the shadow of a place.
Drogar will take a look around, and as he's looking around, he's imagining the battle that took place. You know, he's seeing where they were defending, where their last stand was, you know, what their positions were. But first and foremost, before he does any of that, he's going to walk up to the brazier, and he's going to breath weapon and light it.
There's nothing inside that necessarily would catch. It's kind of just the...
Okay. Maybe he will cast light on his mace then and hold the mace up to see if he can get like a...
Great.
Illuminate kind of...
Great.
The tapestries or whatever's in there.
Great. Yeah. You do so, Drogar, and casting light upon the head of your mace and holding it aloft like a radiant torch. The chamber is illuminated and... The light catches along the seams of the windows and the edges of the braziers and the crisscrossing beams above and just many of the support structures and foundations of this building are rimmed with gold. Wow. And as your mace light catches these metallic edges, they seem to glimmer and the whole place almost kind of comes alight for a moment. And you're sort of stood there in wonder at this place. And give me an insight check, Drogar.
I think as he's doing the inside check, he's going to call to Windy, come here, come look at this. Much like a archaeologist finding a tomb, a crypt, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And kind of holds the mace up and will, that's a natty 18 on the insight. That's a 25.
He's an irrelevant.
Yeah.
But we'll hold the mace up and kind of just point to all the filigree, like the sparkles.
What was that for? Just to be fancy or to do anything?
Sometimes, yes. There's a regal aspect to a castle. It is a bastion, a stronghold. It defends the weak. But it also defends the king, so to speak.
Did people live in here?
Well, yes, I believe there was a garrison here. And...
What's a garrison?
It's a small grouping of soldiers, but that's not important. Yes, there were troops here, and, well, sadly, I I do believe maybe Innocence fought a last stand here as well. But this place has been dormant for, oh, Winnie, maybe longer than I've been alive.
Really?
25 on that insight.
As you're looking around, Drugar, and kind of like at the collapsed walls and the fortifications running along the second floor, you can see arrow slits kind of like lining the facade of the building. And,
yeah,
you know, the entryway that you walked through, you know, chanced to glance up and saw murder holes, you know,
oh,
where they
yeah.
would plop stones and boiling oil down on invaders.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this place was built to fight. And yeah, as you're standing, you can almost begin to kind of hear it, Drogar, the battles around you as you inspect this ancient ground. You can, as you look, you can see huge rivulets carved through the stone where either some massive engine of war cast a projectile or some monstrous beast roamed, who can say, but you can see the devastation that took place and almost hear the echoing of a soldier's final stand within these halls. And as you stand there contemplating this, Drogar, you again hear that voice.
I bid ye turn back, and yet ye came still. Why?
And as all of you turn, you again see that figure stood at the top of a rising staircase, moving up out of the courtyard, again in that same pose, standing stock still with his hands resting gently atop this enormous greatsword that is the tip of its blade into the floor below him.
We wish to know what happened to you here. What happened to Argenvost?
You come seeking knowledge.
Yes, I being a dragon myself.
A treat thee then. Very well. Prose of poses dictate too.
And he looks like you can't see his eyes, but you can see his head kind of swivel towards you, Drogar.
It is customary to begin the treatise with a bow.
Very well.
And he will turn to Winnie, and he unclasps his purple kind of tunic thing, you know, and he just kind of drapes it over her, and it like goes over her head. She's like, yeah.
She's still trying to be cool.
Yeah. And he will pull his mace out, and he will do it to his face like this, and he will do a grand bow before this knight.
And he sort of looks at you appraisingly. Give me a performance check, actually.
Guidance.
That's an 8. I think he gets maybe like a cramp as he's going down.
Great.
He like tries, but like the stitch in his back.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. You've been through a lot lately. Yeah. So you do the best you can, Drogar. As you come back up.
Yes.
As you come back up, he just still stares at you stoically.
Pros of poses dictate to addendum B. As steward of the house, I am not bound to respond in kind. You are welcome. State your purpose.
Our purpose, as your guests, is to see the end of the devil.
No.
I know you wish to keep him within the prison that you have confined him to.
It is not my wish, Master Dragon. It is my oath what binds me. The prima dictate. Evil is to be defeated. Pen prima dictate. If evil cannot be defeated, evil is to be contained. I will not let a shred of darkness leave this place.
Nor would I were I in your stead. However, shade of what once was, your lifeline has ended, and this valley is different now. He must be defeated.
You are liable to pursue your course, but my oath does not change with the turning of my body. If you seek elsewise, you are my enemy.
Tell me, how did your end come about?
Mine is not a tale to share with strangers.
Very well.
What be it then? I have spake it twice. If again I must ask, it'll be the sword does the calling. Turn back.
By my honor, bound to me through knighthood, as one of the Knights of Tyr, I challenge thee, Lord of the Castle,
oh God,
for entry into your keep, for you will not give it willingly.
Set your terms.
Combat. One-on-one. To the first yields.
And if I refuse to yield?
In defeat, I would expect a true knight's death.
You shall have it. Very well. I, Knight Commander Owen Hornguard, First Sword of Orgenvost, and Knight Commander of the Order of the Golden Dragon, accept your challenge.
And he pulls the silver, the great sword from the earth and kind of holds it, you know, in one of those like classic that you see in like the medieval combat, like illustrations. He just holds it like right up at a 90 degree angle over his head. And starting from his face, Drogar, two bright pinprints of golden light that shimmer where his eye sockets might be. You can see contained within the body of this form that you have seen a like cold and sickly green skeleton contained with inside the body begins to glow as these sickly green flames lick across rib cages and forearms and legs up the skull and bursting flame out of the eyes. You can see the skeletal figure encased within the body. And as it spreads along his limbs, it mates his greatsword and the blade glows that same sickly golden green hue. And he like, you know, like levels it around.
And much like the Lazy Fire sketch, Drogar just goes, fuck.
Roll initiative.
Hey!
Oh my god.
Drogar, in seeing that's the stance, Drogar will take a very traditional sword and board stance where he puts the shield on a 45 degree angle so that it covers the front of his body. And it's the point is where his eye is so that he can see over the point. Mm-hmm. But most of his body is covered. And his mace goes up in like an L shape above so that it causes a barrier above his head. So there's just a thin slit that he can see through.
Battle stance.
In his guard.
Amazing. Do you want to let's just do the theater of the mind for this,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Kaz just elbows.
Hey, you're the DM. I just work here.
Kaz just elbows Olaf.
She just lied.
What was that, Kaz?
Nothing.
Okay.
Just being chaotic neutral over here.
Initiative. Okay.
All right, what do you got, Drogar?
Oh, my God.
I got a 17.
All right, you'll go first.
Great. So he'll start in his stance and we'll say,
Fearless Knight, whatever comes next, know that it is an honor to fight you.
And with one hand, he just goes like that and... Shield of Faith comes up over him.
Very
the bonus action.
Very nice.
So that is cast.
Bringing your AC to 300.
24?
24.
Oh! Disgusting. That's disgusting.
That's right. I forgot about that. All right, yeah, do what you want.
And then Drogar would like to take, like, total defense. He would like to full on just wait. He wants to be on the defense.
All right. How about this? If you want to like ready in action,
sure.
I'm gonna give. I'll give you like a +2 to your AC or something. So you're total. So you'll be 26.
Yeah, great. So Drogar will stand there in full defense, and he will just kind of like look to Winnie at the side and just go and give her a kind of wink.
She looks horrified.
And he will ready in action.
Great. Okay. Yep. So you speak your words and you take your stance, Drogar. And as Knight Commander Hornguard stands in his battle pose, he says,
"There's no honor left for me. I imagine I'll take some of yours down with me too."
And he rushes forward. First of all, Drogar, first things first, please give me an athletic saving throw.
Oh shit. Yeah. 10.
Great, that's enough. He rushes at you, but instead of bringing the massive blade down upon you, he actually starts with the pommel, trying to knock you off balance.
Yeah!
But you bat him away with your shield.
Right.
And so then, keeping a fluid movement, even though his maneuver didn't work, he brings the enormous blade back around overhead and kind of like brings it down upon you. And as you go to defend Drogar, you maybe hold up your shield to block the blow. It passes right through as if you are air and across your entire body. And I need you to give me a constitution saving throw.
Oh, shit. My God.
Shit. I know this now. Yeah. That is a 16.
16. will be enough.
Wow.
You see the eerie blade kind of like, shoo, and you can feel, you feel like this seizure of cold as it kind of just like passes through as if you weren't even there. And you can feel it trying to like rip something out with it as it passes through.
Oh, no.
But you manage to steel yourself. Ugh. And he's going to make a second attack. Give me another constitution saving throw. Ghost
time. Another con save?
Yes.
It's a 12 this time.
No, that won't be enough. So he does like one and then brings around. And he's doing like that Trues Vi-hander kind of.
Yeah.
Like he like throws his leg out behind him as he swings his sword. You know? The German greatsword. It doesn't matter.
This is purely for me and Trevor today.
Me and Winnie are doing the like ping pong face.
But yeah, he brings it through again, and this second one, Drogar. You were so, like, you were ready to defend on the first one,
right.
But you're so caught off guard by the effect that this blade produces that you aren't quite ready for the second one, and you're going to take one damage to your constitution.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
No, that's boy. Bad.
Yeah. And that's the end of his swing. You are up next, Drogar. What
to
do you got?
To your constitution score.
Correct.
Yes. So real quick. How do I add that?
Just keep track of it somewhere for now. If it becomes an issue, we'll take it.
Luckily, I had an odd number con, so I still have the bonus so far.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Winnie can keep score like a mom at a baseball game.
14. I'm at 14.
Okay, I'm gonna do it.
Drogar will take a step back, like he's staggered back a little bit by it, and he's like, all right. That kind of combat.
Yeah, and you know, Drogar, as this like as the skeletal form alights within his body, your worst suspicions are confirmed. Yeah. This is a revenant.
Very well. We shall do it your way. Drogar will touch himself and cast protection from evil.
Nice.
Which means that if this is a fey fiend,
or undead,
you have disadvantage on attack rolls.
Okay.
So he casts protection from evil and good, and will take his mace and will do a swing to the head of this.
Roll to hit.
Of this creature.
Roll to hit.
That is an 18.
Grand. You go to swing your weapon, and after he finishes his two strikes, he kind of almost just stands back as if expecting nothing to happen. But your blow connects, and you can see him like arch his back and clutch where your mace impacts. Ah! Drogar, please roll me a d20.
Kill him, Drogar!
Gee whiz!
Kill him! Landru, Bane of the Dark! That is a 4 on a d20.
Nothing happens. But yes, he like recoils at the blow and looks at you and says,
"It's been a long time since I felt anything. Well, I suppose I can thank you for as much."
Very nice.
Nice.
Great. Okay, anything else, Drogar?
That's my bonus action. No, that's my action. I cannot attack. Protection from good and evil is an action.
Oh,
so
fuck.
I took that. It's okay. I took that. What I will do instead...
Verbally taunt
give him a small attack, a bonus action sized one.
Yeah, what I will do instead is I will from my stance, mirror knock, look, and bang his shield, and Valandra will pop up as the bonus action.
Is protection from good and evil a leveled spell?
Do you know what? I'm fucking sick of that rule. I'm inclined to let you do it, Ned.
Look at me. I'm always gonna fuck that rule.
Genuinely, I'm inclined to let you do it. Let's just roll. You know what? If it's the fantasy of the thing.
How
go
about
for
I roll
it.
To see if I can
sure,
do it?
Sure, go ahead.
We'll roll a d20 and you tell me whether I get it off or not.
Or you can just tell him he can keep the attack so the turn remains as is.
Yeah, just keep the attack and we'll
great,
move on.
Done.
We'll move on.
Done,
we'll
done,
move
done,
on.
Done,
we'll
done,
move
done.
On. Good call.
That retcon. Yeah. We're still
as
with
is. Carrying on. Just get rid of all of that.
Yeah.
Get rid of all of this. All right,
I
we're
love
back.
It when we all think we're helping Kay and we go.
Bop, bop, bop.
Sounds like a Clydesdale snapping to him.
Sounds like a slap fight.
I like that you don't have one spike to work off of.
Drogar, give me another constitution saving throw as he strikes again.
That's not gonna do it. That's another 7.
No, he is going to strike you for 6. Points of constitution damage.
Oh my god! 6 points of constitution damage.
Dude, you're gonna die.
Was that a die. Was that at disadvantage?
Never mind. I take
Nothing happens. Oh my god!
Nothing happens. Nothing happens as he comes. For a moment, like your eyes flash and you can see this like piece of yourself being torn away, Drogar. But then you can feel an uplifting swell as your spell takes effect and stops the blow from impacting. Second attack. Give me another Constitution saving throw.
God damn it!
Try again.
That one will be fine, I believe, with a 17.
Yes, you're good. Okay. Okay. Terrific. Drogar, you're up.
Winnie is now sitting in a lawn chair.
Yeah.
With her scorebook.
Drogar will cast Guardian of Faith.
Okay, giddy up.
Directly on top of this revenant. He just goes into the ground, and this orb of light swells up around and just kind of drops on him. I need a dex saving throw.
Mm-hmm. 7.
You take 20 radiant damage.
Oh, okay, great. What's
yeah,
it like?
So yeah, so it's like this kind of, this brilliant orb of light, the light that he worships, kind of just grow, and then it just kind of comes down on him, and you see these shards. It almost looks like glass of light just go outward and just shoot through this revenant creature.
Great, great. Yeah, it does so and staggers him back a little bit. Great. He is going to come around again. Please give me a Constitution saving throw.
Do good.
Not this time. That's a 6.
Yes, no, he will connect. And this time, as he raises that sword, he cries out, Mornis Ragnis! And the blade erupts in sickly pale flame.
Fuck.
As it comes down upon you, Drogar, you're going to take 7 points of Constitution damage.
Seven.
And as it cuts through Drogar, it's like, I don't know, it's such a strange sensation. As the blade moves through fluidly through your body, it's like years are being ripped away from you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're at a 7 now.
Another hit like that, that'll kill me. Another hit.
You're up, Drogar.
But wait, Jennifer Lawrence, what do you mean? What do you mean? Another hit like that will kill you. What do you mean?
I'm not 100% certain of the rules, but if I lose all of my constitution, I believe I die outright.
Someone tell me that's not correct.
I can't say that.
What the fuck?
Let's keep going.
Drogar is going to slam his shield against his mace, and I need a con saving throw from him.
Mm-hmm. 14.
That is a fail.
Okay.
You are going to take 6 points of radiant damage.
Mm-hmm.
That was Word of Radiance.
Okay.
And then Drogar will now, with a bonus action, because that was a cantrip, and the mace will come out of the ground.
Spiritual weapon.
And will come swinging at him.
Uh-huh.
And that is a natty 19.
That'll hit.
That is 7 points of force damage.
Okay. It's close. All right.
Come on, baby.
Anything else, Drogar?
No, Drogar will just kind of, I mean, he's feeling very weak now.
Yeah, even in this unfamiliar sort of undead format, you know a smite.
Yeah.
You know? And so he gets you with that blast. Yeah. And then you blast him back, and he also staggers back, and both of you are just a little like, you know? Yeah, like both kind of at the end of the rope. As he squares up for one more hit, he rushes towards you, Drogar. Give me another Constitution saving throw.
Wow, that was on an 8, and it rolled to a 16.
Ooh,
that is an 18.
All right, he comes around again, leveling this massive. He like takes a few steps back and takes a running dash towards you, trailing the blade behind him. The tip of it kind of scattering across the floor of the keep. Sparks flying out behind it as he charges towards
Come
you.
On, no!
And he brings this in this one like massive overhand hatchet blow to bring it down on you and end the battle. When another voice cuts through the air, Commander Horngard, wait, they need not be our enemies. And he stops in midair, like just as the blade was about to come down on top of you, and you turn your attention to back up the staircase, and another figure is now making its way down. This one, not in any, not necessarily in knight's attire, but sort of like scribe's robes instead.
I think on impulse in that moment, mm-hmm. as he stops, mm-hmm. Drogar takes a 5-foot step
mm-hmm.
and braces the mace right against the neck of this revenant. Like, not as an attack, but as like a, check.
Oh, great. He's got his blade against your shoulder. Right, and you've got like, his mace up against, yeah,
and then
perfect.
And then whoever this is coming down the stairs, but it's like, check, check.
That's great, that's great, that's yeah. great, that's great, that's yeah, yeah, perfect. Yeah. That's awesome.
I stopped paying attention. How's he doing?
He lost like almost all of his con, and then he said if he lost any more, he was going to die.
Damn it. This is the first fight of the day.
So you're locked in this battle.
I'm doing great, Kaz. Thanks for asking.
So you're locked in this battle, and all of you kind of turn to the staircase, and coming down is unmistakably an elf. If those any of you familiar with sort of elven culture would know this to be what you would take to be a drow.
Whoa!
Whoa! Yeah.
A sort of similar in complexion to Rahadin, whom you met in Strahd's castle.
Very interesting.
Oh, Rahadin was a drow?
Yeah, he was an elf of, yeah, certainly of some kind.
Dark-complexioned elf.
Yeah.
I knew somebody like that.
And that sort of, like, deep purplish skin. Yeah, he's sort of almost in these sort of scribe robes, but they're belted at the waist, so it almost looks like a little, like, sort of half-cape that dangles from his waist, sort of protecting his legs. Like you see in heavy armor sometimes, you know, where they have the flaps come down over your legs. And, he has sort of, like, silvery white hair back in a taut ponytail, and he's got like a bandolier of scrolls across his chest. And as he draws closer, you can see his pallid complexion and deep sunken eyes, like it's clearly a body. But he steps forward and he says, "Commander Horncon, please, they need not be our enemies."
"Needs not, but have made us such all the same. They seek to free the devil from his prison. Thus, I cannot allow you know that more than most.
Their goals may differ from our own, but that does not mean we must fight. This was once a house of nobility and light, a beacon of safety for weary travellers and knights alike. Let it be again, even if only for an hour. Let me treat with them. Let me learn what I may."
"You would dare defy your knight commander?"
"I do not speak on my capacity. As a member of the Order, I ask you to do this for me."
And he kind of like, "What? You push the limit of my mercy to the uncharted water, Sir Godfrey!"
"Please, Owen, let me speak to them."
"1 hour. If they're not gone from this hold in 1 hour, I will see their heads adorn the walls. You're lucky this time, warrior."
And he turns and stalks off farther into the keep. And so you stand there before this figure, now still on the...
Yeah, and Drogar falls to a knee.
Sure.
From that point. Is that sustained damage?
It is for now.
Okay.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So Drogar, being at 7 con, drops to a knee and kind of like the mace falls out of his hand and he catches himself with his shield hand and just is like...
Don't worry, bit of a rest and that should wear off. It's really only in the aggregate in the immediate that it's a bit dangerous.
Yes, well, that's good to know.
Can I do anything healing?
It's not of his body, it's of his spirit. Yes, the blades of a revenant cut deeper than skin and flesh and bone altogether.
Do you know anything that could help?
A bit of rest and perhaps a bit of good company. I do cry your pardon, and let me just say, I would ask you to forgive Knight Commander Horngard if you can. He carries a heavy load.
Those who die by the oath, unfulfilled, often do.
Aye, indeed. But where are my manners? Please, welcome all to Argenvost Holt. My name is Sir Godfrey Gwethlin, the Indefatigable. Principes Bibliographus of the Order of the Golden Dragon. I do wish I could offer you tea or something. What was it now? Prose of Poses, Section 6. It is customary upon receiving guests to provide for them fare and... oh, I don't know, nibbles and some such. But you see, the larder is somewhat of... well, rubble of late. You'll forgive us.
Are you dead?
Oh, aye, a keen mind. I am, lass.
How long have you been dead?
Well, what year is it?
That's a good question.
How does time work here?
Drogar flips to like a little book that he has, and he goes, "Well,
we're at the year that we were in before we left.
We're on, Olaf might be able to tell you. I don't know.
Sure. Actually, Olaf would know. Yeah, Olaf would. Actually, that's great.
What if, like, time has frozen outside of here? Or what if, like, time is going really fast? What year is it?
Olaf, the what you have only been told is it is 417 CR. And what that stands for is Conquest Reckoning. It's been 417 years since Strahd took over.
But that doesn't mean anything for us.
Give me a history check, Olaf.
All right. Oh, boy. My new dice.
Come on, thank you, Dragon's Nest Delivery.
17!
Nice.
Hey.
And with history, that is a 17!
Great. In that case, you know, you recall something that Zarya Volnaya once told you. Before Strahd came, by Zenobia Reckoning, it was the year 1431.
So it was 1431 before Strahd.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's...
And now it is 417 CR.
CR. Damn. Okay. So yeah, when the Revenant, or when the Scholar asks what year it is, I think Olaf...
Godfrey question.
Yeah, so then he'll just like look up a big... It's the 417 CR.
So, 400 years since he came, roughly thereabouts. Then I am dead 417 years.
Wow. You look great.
Thank you.
How old were you before that?
Well, a gentleman never tells.
What are you?
That is a discussion perhaps better had in more comfortable surroundings. Please, would you come with me?
Wait, do you know Rahadin?
Rahadin?
Do you know somebody named Rahadin? You talk a lot like him.
Rahadin is someone you've met?
Mm-hmm. He works at Strahd's house.
What was his manner?
Much like yours.
Like you, honestly.
Tall, slender, dark of complexion.
A little bit more arrogant and condescending.
A little.
A lot.
Rahadin still lives. We have much to discuss. Please, friends, we only have an hour, as we know. But I entreat you to parley. Come with me, if you would.
And he kind of gestures up the staircase.
Very well.
I'm keeping an eye on Drogar. Does he look okay?
Well, technically, he hasn't lost any hit points.
Yeah.
Right.
He's
right.
Just lost con points.
Mm-hmm.
He's just sad.
His spirit is at half health.
Oh, gee whiz.
Much like when he runs out of magic.
Mm-hmm. Right? Spell slots, yeah.
So, I think Drogar will be like, come on, by the agreement of the Knight's Code, they cannot harm us for an hour. Let's go.
Sir Godfrey leads you up the staircase to a new landing on the second floor of the monastery to the western side that is not all entirely collapsed, and he leads you into what is unmistakably a huge library. And as you make your way in, as I mentioned, back in our heyday, I was the Principes Bibliographus. That means head librarian of the Order of the Golden Dragon. We were, well, long before Strahd came to this valley, it was under the protection of my liege lord, Argenvost, for whom the keep is named.
And he's a dragon?
Aye, indeed. Though he came here in the guise of a human nobleman, for he admired man's pluck and enterprising spirit. He was, by all accounts and by the reckoning of dragons, a humble soul. He built this fortress, from which the valley could be protected, and used his great wealth to attract champions of good and valorous knights to join him. And thus was the Order of the Golden Dragon born. Under our protection, the valley flourished, growing wealthy and powerful. Only those closest to Argenvost knew his true nature and of his true reasons for coming here. You see, Argenvost did not lair here simply for its idyllic beauty and promising fortunes. No, there was an evil in these mountains well before the coming of the devil. A repository of evil guarded by an order of good-aligned wizards. The Amber Temple. Argynvos did not doubt the merits of their intentions, merely that their strength could match their designs. And so he came to this valley as a safeguard. Should the wizards ever fail, we were to hold the lines. We were to ensure that the evil contained within would never escape. We failed in that endeavor, as I'm sure you have surmised. So focused were we on our efforts to contain the temple. We'd failed to notice the threats from beyond the mountain passes. And so the devil came, Strahd, with his hate and his unending armies. And we fought him. Lord of the Morning, did we fight. Argynvos revealed himself in full, and we fought alongside our liege lord in battle that shook the very peaks of this mountain. But even with a dragon and all our might, it was not enough. Strahd's armies overwhelmed Argynvos. He slew Owain, Argynvos' greatest champion in single combat. He stole the knight commander's armor and stained the golden metal red with his own blood. He wears it to this day, I understand, no doubt as an insult. The shame was too great for Owain. He's consumed by hatred and cannot rest, nor can I fear the spirit of my Lord Argynvos, not while the beacon remains cold.
The beacon.
He moves across the room and pulls back a heavy curtain along a window, revealing beyond, built at the very, the fog obscured it from the front entrance, but built into the very back of the temple. It's this tower that rises high into the air. And I think, Kaz, it would stand out most obviously to you, it's very clearly a lighthouse.
Hmm.
The beacon which lit the valley, a demonstration of Argynvos' power and protection. It gave hope to the people here, even during the war, even when Strahd's victory seemed dull but assured. It burned brightly, but no longer. Strahd defiled the body of my liege by cutting off his head and boiling it in oil until the bones were bleached white. Should the beacon ever hope to be alight again, my lord must be made whole. His skull must be returned here, but we are bound to this place and cannot venture forth. And so are useless in this task.
The bones will set you free.
I believe. Should my liege's skull be returned to the rest of his body and put to rest here, not only would it allow he and I and Owain to rest, the beacon would be a bright light in these dark days.
Tell me, where did the devil take Argynvos' skull?
It was gifted to one of his loyal followers, the swamp witch who now haunts the ruins of Bereg.
Fuck a duck.
Well, what a coincidence.
Son of a fucking bitch.
We just so happened to be headed there.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, honestly, that's just convenient. I don't know why you all look so sad.
Yeah.
It's one fewer trip to make. Beacon being lit, does it do anything else other than make everyone feel really nice?
Could there be a stronger power?
I mean, look, if that's everything it does, that's great. That's kind of a large part of what we've been doing since we got here. I just, you know, thought maybe.
I think were you ever to see it, you'd get it.
If that place is a repository for lots of evil. Does anyone know which one helped Strahd?
I cannot say for sure, but whatever it was he found within that place, it is the beginning of all of this. It is both that what gives him strength and that what locks him here. And that is why Owain will not permit the devil to be defeated. For were he ever removed, and the evil he serves would be made free and clear to the world. Something our oath cannot permit.
Unless we destroy the evil that he serves as well.
A lofty goal. But I'd never turn away from a good tale. And what a one it would be. I know that you must be strangers to this land, brought from afar and cast into our woe. I fancy myself something of a historian. If there are any other questions that have been gnawing at you, I may be able to revide.
What caused the fall of Perez?
That unfortunately came after our time passing. Once it was the finest city in the valley, but its fate beyond our own death, I cannot say I'm afraid.
Saint Markovia.
I indeed
did. Made a stand with you and Argenvost, correct?
She came after us, but I do remember her, for she visited this place many times as a girl. But she was only 3 when I knew her. Oh. She grew into a bright star, I understand.
Yeah, she did good.
So much heartache.
But yeah, so you guys were like, you guys were around when Strahd was like just a guy.
Aye, indeed. Though monstrous he was then, too.
But before he made a pact with this evil.
Aye, indeed. Its exact nature we cannot say on, for we have never been to the temple ourselves. We were meant simply to safeguard it.
And what of the wizards that were safeguarding it?
Well, they thought they knew what it was they had, but they didn't, did they? As I said, Argenvost did not doubt the merits of their intentions, only their capacity to meet them.
Well, we certainly have our work cut out for us.
I am sorry I cannot bring happier news upon your coming to this place.
Well, I don't know why. Something in me wished to speak with Argenvost, but...
And may yet. I believe his spirit is still in this place, unable to rest as it is. Mm. I think he'd be sad to see what's become of us. I think he'd be sad to see what's become of Owain.
Well,
maybe if we bring back his skull, then you can talk to him.
I would like that very much, Winnie. And I would also like to free that revenant from his bond.
Yeah. Are there more like you guys that we can't see?
No longer.
It's just you two?
Our order was defeated one by one until it was only Owain and I left to guard our lord. And even we did not last long beyond that.
Drogar puts a gentle hand out to touch his shoulder. Is he material?
Mm-hmm. It's cold to the touch. It's like a body. It's almost like a body under the effects of gentle repose.
I ask again, what are you exactly? You seem neither incorporeal.
We are promises unfulfilled. We were sworn to protect this place and our lord, and we failed. And the shame, the anger, the hatred is all too much for Owain. He came back to carry out his oath, and I came back. Well, I came back to follow him.
You're really sweet.
Well, as the code dictates, Prose of Graces, Article 6. Fight by thy brother, fight for thy lover.
So they were roommates.
I have written down in my notes, Sir Godfrey, drow, dead, sweetheart.
Very fashionable.
Strahdcast features Campbell O'Hare as Winnie, Kay Devine Jones as Kaz, Ned Iannacone as Drogar, Tyler Cantor as Olaf, and me, Trevor William Fail, as your DM. You can't spell patron without great if you spell it wrong. Special shout-outs to some of our newest patrons, Kat Monahan, Ducklin, Michelle, Lupos Lipopobia, and Basil Owlbear. Welcome to the party. If you're not ready to support us financially, there are still plenty of ways to help us out. You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at CriticalFailDM, Binge Madness and Mercy on our YouTube channel, and join us there every other Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time when we do live listens of new episodes of the Strahdcast. Or rate and leave us a review wherever you like to listen. Thanks, Dungeoneers, and take your day with advantage.